Young and Indigenous Podcast is an outlet for people to know about Indigenous knowledge, storytelling, and history. Through our youthful journeys as Indigenous people, young people and elders share their experiences with us. Without them, we wouldn't be able to do this.
Come listen to Plants, a podcast series featuring many different plant knowledge keepers with diverse perspectives and plant philosophies. A series brought to you by Children of the Setting Sun Productions and Cultural Survival Youth Fellow Opportunities.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Young and Indigenous Podcast. We're here with Morgan Brown.
Morgan Brown Dewayu Simsienu, Ada Ukrainian. Lisa Virik Dinoyu Ada Ted Brown Dinagwadu. My name is Morgan Brown, and I'm Simsien and Ukrainian. And my mother's name is Lisa Virik, and my father's name is Ted Brown. And I grew up mostly around the Seattle area and Ketchikan, and I've been living most currently in Swinomish territory, aka Mount Vernon.
How is language reflective of our relationships with the plants and the land?
Yeah, in my time, both like with my on my journey with the plants and then on my journey with my Indigenous language, which is Somaliak, I have realized that it was just a lot of my own personal desire to learn how to speak with the plants in the relationship and the language that I share with them. And then in doing that, I realized like how much they love that and how much that means to them when we take the time to speak with them in that way. And our language comes from them. And also, like, this is not just for our plants, but all of our relatives that we share territory with, so animals too. And it really feels like a form of respect as well for me to take the time to really hold up that piece of our identity that also is shared with them. And I also wanted to share, there was an article that I read, I think a couple years ago, that talked about, they kind of looked at the territory maps of different languages. And this was mostly up like in Simsien territory, where they looked at the language dialect maps. And then they also looked at the genetic maps of grizzly bears in the area. And they found that the lines of those maps, like overlaid on each other, was incredibly similar. And that just made so much sense to me. Because we are all expressions of the territories that have given us existence. And we carry that, you know, even the Devil's Club that grows down here has like a slightly different expression from the Devil's Club that grows up the coast a ways. And just like the people do, you know, we have a lot in common and a lot of similarities, but we have really distinct differences as well. And that also is expressed in our languages and in our culture and our plants. I just feel so much happiness, like from the plants, when I come back into speaking with them. So I can't like emphasize that enough. If you are someone that is blessed and fortunate to still have access to your Indigenous language, like that's amazing, because there's not very many people in the world present day that even have that access. When we are trying to uphold our languages, we have to honor the relationships that created our languages, because that is where we can recognize that our languages are never lost. Like, nobody could ever take those relationships away, and that's where our language is birthed from. So really, like, our relationship with our plants and all of our relatives and our language, they go hand in hand, and they feed each other.
Thank you. That was really powerful. And that kind of goes right into the next question. Can you speak more about place-based relationships and kinship bonds?
Yeah, so in my years of going out and spending time in different places, different territories, and in harvesting different medicines, and just really just being with them too, I recognize that I'll be called sometimes to go and harvest a certain plant, or just, you know, someone will come to me and that will be the medicine for them too. So that's sometimes like how the plants speak also, is through us to each other. They'll call me out there, and sometimes it's not just for that medicine, but there'll be other reasons why we need to go to that place where that medicine grows. Like, there are certain medicines that they won't just grow anywhere. You couldn't dig them up and transplant them into your backyard, like Devil's Club, or we have a really strong medicine called Hoothlands, and that medicine only grows in specific places. And my understanding, a teaching that's been shared with me just from the plants, is that there's a reason that they're in those places, and there's a reason that we need to go to those places to harvest those medicines, because we can't even just extract that medicine from that place. Like, part of the medicine is that place too. So taking the time to go out to those places and recognizing the importance of respecting the homes that the plants choose to be in, and like knowing that maybe it was that river that called you out there, or maybe it was that mountain that also has something to share with you, and just trying to have that kind of posture when you're out there, that way of listening, that kind of goes back like to how we're intrinsically rooted in our territories and inextractable from them.
I know that's really helpful for people to understand what it means to develop relationship, not just plants, but all beings in your territory, and just to gain a greater sense of like self. That might be an interesting conversation or question to pose as well, you know, as we are in a time where there are a lot of foreigners, you know, on lands that aren't traditionally their homelands, you know, or it's not necessarily their ancestral homelands. Is it possible that these people gain a greater sense of place, or can develop these kinds of relationships with the land and the plants, despite these homelands not necessarily being their traditional homelands?
Yes, I love that question, and that's so fascinating to me. I ask myself that, like, being a guest in this territory, even though there are a lot of similar plant relatives within this territory as I have like within my ancestral territory, which I'm so grateful for, because it's like a little piece of home from far away. But I also hold other ancestry too, and my matrilineal lineage goes to the Ukraine. So You know, I grew up with my grandma making borscht and pierogies, and those relationships with those foods go back a long ways, you know. So just like I like to feed my Indian, like I also feed my Ukrainian sometimes. And I think part of being able to be in the relationships with the plants and relatives, like in whatever territory you are presently living in or walking on, you first also kind of got to look inside yourself too and give respect to the ones that have fed you and taken care of you. So I really like inviting people to explore what those plants are, like to look into their lineages or really take it all the way back to the land. Like when your ancestors were in good relationship with the land that took care of them. And what were those medicines? What were those foods? And we don't have all the answers to those things, but we have enough to bring us back. Like we'll always have enough to bring us back. And if we just make that choice, even just making the choice of coming back into relationship with one of those foods that fed your ancestors when there was that time of good relation, you're feeding those ancestors inside of yourself, and you're choosing that. You're choosing to feed that inside yourself, so you'll get stronger in that way. You'll remember more what it's like to be living in that good relation, because that's inside of all of us. We can all go back to a time where our ancestors were in good relation. So finding how you can feed that within yourself is really important. And then I think when we take the time to do that, then we understand what that looks like, no matter where we are, like how to be in that good relation. And I think it's also something like, man, I can remember times where I was really confused about all this stuff. And, you know, I still feel fascinated, like there's so much more to understand. But what really has helped me is to pray about it, and to pray to my ancestors that I do know that I saw, like making those choices, or that I feel that kind of connection with, and to just like ask for guidance and ask for help, and to just really try to get in touch with your own heart and just love yourself, like no matter what, just love yourself and accept yourself. Because it all has to start with that. Like, if there's so much shame that we can't feel that love for ourselves and accept ourselves, like, no matter where we come from or who we are, then we miss out on so much of, like, a good way of life. And we all need that. Like, no matter what, we're all in this together. Yeah, I really feel like it starts with going inside yourself and feeding that within. And then a lot of those answers will come for you, because there's not like a manual. Like there's not like an instruction book that applies to everybody. I definitely feel like if you are drawn to harvesting, if you're drawn to being in relationship with the plants, and if you have that, like burning curiosity. That's beautiful, no matter who you are. I think knowing how to also be respectful, it is important to first just acknowledge the indigenous people whose territory you are within. And you can ask yourself questions like, do the indigenous people of this territory have access to this medicine? Are my actions being respectful to make sure that I'm respecting the right that they have, not just the right, but like a way of life that they have? Do they have access to that in a good way, or am I doing something that's harming that? Like, I think that's really important. And, you know, we can look at ways that that's been played out in the past. Like, I would encourage everybody to also understand, like, some of the history that's already happened around here. Like, you know, we can look at what's happened with the salmon, like, what's happened with treaties. Like, there's a lot of history that can help educate us, too.
It's really powerful, you know, that like someone like you is able to go and educate indigenous and non-indigenous youth, because that's going to make, you know, the greatest impact, you know, in this cultural shift, you know, where we are starting to recognize that respecting the land and all of the animals of the land, whether you believe in animism or not. I think we're kind of in like a renaissance per se, and it's because people like you who have done the work that it takes to heal themselves, and then are now able to illuminate that outwards in their community, and just kind of one step at a time.
Yeah, and I think that is really important to take the time to understand, is that a lot of indigenous communities are going through an immense amount of healing from a lot of trauma that has happened not that long ago. And because of that, communities might be in a different place of coming back into relationship with their plants and their medicines, or even knowing how to do that. Like, It's a lot. And being someone that, you know, if you're someone that might not be going through that, or, you know, you're in a different experience in your life, or like even in your lineage, those relationships are really strong for you already and established with the plants, like, I think it's important to think about holding that place or that space. Like, it's not just, everything out there is not just like yours for the taking, you know? Like, and maybe it looks like praying. Maybe it just looks like praying for healing for everything within the territory that is feeding you now, like for there to be healing. And I've been in a lot of spaces where plant communities, schools, classes, where there isn't indigenous representation, and it's not spoken of, it's not part of the education. And I think especially like people that have schools or are teaching plant medicines, I want to see that upheld so much more than what I've experienced that to be happening. And I think it is, it's definitely heading in that direction. And I'm really comforted by that, but like, I still feel the need to advocate for that and to make sure that like Indigenous people are not forgotten when folks not from these places that are holding this medicine are coming to harvest these medicines. There needs to be visibility for that, for sure. Like, there needs to be more awareness around that and their open-ended conversations. Like, I don't feel like I have clear answers. I just know that it's important. And I feel like I couldn't ever just have those answers, because the answers come from us speaking about those things with each other. So, yeah, we just gotta make more spaces where we can talk about it, because a lot of people really care, they just don't know. So we gotta have more awareness.
So when we're talking about healing ourselves internally, we're talking about that in an emotional sense, a spiritual sense, but we also have to consider, you know, physical health as well. And a problem that I view as a true problem, especially with this country, is the amount of reliance on like pharmaceuticals and the amount of additives that we have in our poor diets, you know, which are pretty general, you know, in this place today. Could you maybe talk to, you know, as you know, someone who is considered a medicine woman, could you talk to like plant medicine or plant medicines and just how much more beneficial, you know, the lives that people could have, you know, if they pursue, you know, plant medicines over like over-the-counter pharmaceuticals or pharmaceuticals in general and or healthier plant choices?
Yeah, I love this question. It really goes back all the way back to worldview. And we have to look at the intentions that are behind things. We have to look at the foundations of the systems that we rely on that exist today, and like, what are the values that these things are built on? And then I just feel like it's so easy nowadays, because we are so removed from what we are choosing to put in our bodies as food or as medicine. We don't really know a lot about what those intentions might be, what those underlying foundations are, you know, what is the goal of a lot of pharmaceutical companies? Like, what's the structure of our healthcare system in this country? And I think when we really ask ourselves those questions, then there's more clarity that comes. You know, I feel like there are a lot of, especially diagnostic technologies, that are really helpful. However, I have yet to find a hospital, even a doctor's office, that I can walk into and feel like I'm really given visibility. Because I feel like my spirit has to be left at the door when I walk into a lot of places. What I know deep in my bones, I almost have to deny that a bit, or I'm told that I have to entrust somebody else that goes through even an education system that we can look at. What's the foundation of that? You know, what's the intentions of our education system? What are these doctors learning in medical school? And how does that line up with our own cultural values? I would not ever call myself a medicine woman. I think it's interesting to imagine the time when we did have our own medicine people that took care of our communities and how they were taken care of and how they were respected. What kind of a listening, what kind of a way of life, what kind of choices are made to create that kind of reality? Because we do need that. We really do need that. If you look at the intentions of capitalism, extraction, profit, I believe the pharmaceutical industry to be pretty heavily rooted in. And then you look at Mother Earth, her brilliance and her intelligence. Like, we come from her. Our design comes from her. And we have grown and evolved with so many ancestors and so many relatives that share that design. Like, why would that not be the medicine that we need? You know, and it's not just a physical design, it's a design of love. It's a design of spirit. It's beautiful. Like, that there's so much healing in that that a synthetic could never even touch. I also believe, like, as there's so many different synthetic drugs nowadays that people are self-medicating with, like, what drives a lot of my work today is this question: what happens when we find each other through our medicines and through our foods, like our traditional medicines and our foods? What happens when that's how we come into connection with each other? I had a really amazing conversation with my students the other week. One of them, like, made this beautiful board out in the hallway of the high school for Native Heritage Month. And, you know, she talked about, like, Billy Frank Jr. and Vi Hilbert and the canoe journeys, and put these amazing pictures up, like, you know, of them, like, of their canoe family. And you can just see the smiles, like, some of the cheesiest, happiest grins on their faces. And what we talked about was, like, how when we have access to our songs, like, our, when we're able to dance with each other, when we drink our Indian tea, like, when we come back into these relationships, that hole or that void that we don't know how to fill, if we don't know those things. Like, and that's what, when the synthetic medicines become so easily available to us, and then they mimic that fulfillment within our brain, then that's what we begin to know. But if we come in there and we raise our babies like this, and we take care of each other like this, the root of why we even turn to those things becomes taken care of. I just think that when we take the time to find each other through those things, it's going to heal a lot of things.
Yeah, thank you. And thank you for that wonderful insight. I think the world could really benefit these different perspectives, and just knowing that there are, you know, other directions that you can turn towards. You don't have to just rely on these systems in place, you know, that dictate so much in our day-to-day lives, right down to the moment you're born, you know, so thank you for that. And if you have anything to add or share with our audience, that anything more, of course, all of this has been wonderful and so helpful and appreciated. But we just want to open that space up.
Thank Yeah, I think it all really comes back also to sovereignty for me, and, you know, just even for being a human being on the earth today, being alive today, there still is a lot of oppressive mentality and action that happens when we really look at what it means to be sovereign, what it means to be able to take care of ourselves, to feed ourselves, not rely on colonial capitalistic structures, where we have to explore coming back into these relationships. It's not just any one relationship. It's like everything. It is kinship. Like, it's a whole, you can't take just one piece of it. It's the whole deal. And it would be easy to say, like, you know, we just got to take care of our own community. But the state that the world is in too, and the state that Mother Earth is in, it feels bigger than that to me. Like, we have to really dig in and find compassion for each other to find our way through this. I really do believe that everybody deserves understanding, and not just deserves it, but that's what's going to get us through, is when we really take the time to come back into a way of loving each other, not excluding anybody, you know, but just wrapping everybody in love and having that be because that's what we know. Like, we do know that. And I think that's why I love the plants so much, because they still show up like that. You know, they'll share their medicine with anybody. They want everybody to be taken care of, like, no matter where you come from. And they're just sharing so much with us all the time. And I feel like I just get more and more humbled by them. And I just want to be more and more like them. Like, the more cool that I see how cool they are. Like, and I'll joke with my daughter about that. I'm like, you know where the, you know, like, who the real cool kids are? It's the plants. They're the real cool ones. Yeah, we got to go hang out with them. So, yeah. Oh, there's one more thing I wanted to say. You know, when I go out there into the forest, and, you know, I'll see around here too, like, one of the medicines that I feel really strongly about people not harvesting unless they've been really shown, like by an elder within that territory, is cedar. Not like the leaves, but the bark. Because I have gone, when I've been out there, I've seen some cedar trees just, they're like slowly dying because of the way that they were harvested. And I can tell that whoever harvested that, like, did not have teachings for harvesting that. But it is an incredibly essential, culturally important medicine and relative, like, especially within, like, the Northwest, like, the tribes around here, you know, going all the way up to the coast where I come from too. Don't try to take that. Just let that be. Like, unless it's really, you get really clear permission and teachings, like, from a local elder, just let it be.
That really is an important note, especially to the point of cedar trees, you know, because you are really only using one, when you go to harvest the bark, you really are only using like a small percentage of what that tree has to give, and not even a fraction of a fraction of what that tree can give. And if you don't harvest, you know, ethically from these amazing beings, you know, and they slowly die, and you know that every day that they're dying, you know, it's kind of like a gift being taken, another gift being taken away from this world. And fortunately, dead trees still provide to our ecosystem, but just allowing that being to live its full cycle, and then when its time comes naturally, it will continue to give and give and give. So thank you for that.
Yeah. There's one more thing too. So I was remembering the last time that we got together, as it was getting all dark outside. One of the last questions you were asking me was how are you involved in these relationships with plants, like in your life right now? And I had shared about the work that I get to do with some of the youth that I work with, and that's been really powerful, and that's like very much my day-to-day life. But I also wanted to share a bit more of just like my own personal journey too, that you know, I think one of the things being an Indigenous person that doesn't live within my territory and within my community, I very much involve myself within the Indigenous community that I do live within. But there still is like this piece of me that's like, oh, like I miss home, you know? So it's interesting to balance that, because I do want to be respectful, and this is where I am. Like, I'm choosing to be here, so I'm going to be here. But also, like, it does something to me to different that nothing else could do, to be connected with my own community and my own culture. I have to remember to take care of myself and my people in that way too, and raise my daughter in that way too. One of the ways that I've been bringing plants like into that aspect of my life is through our Gwish Nagam Gyamk, or Gwish Halait weaving tradition, which is commonly known as Chilkat weaving. So I was fortunate enough to be in the first cohort of Tsimshian weavers to be getting mentored by a Tsimshian Hana'a, like a Tsimshian woman. So my mentor is Ruth Hallows, and she led 10 of us through this cohort of coming back into our sacred weaving tradition, which has been such a healing journey, like to come back into relationship with each other in that way, but also to come back into relationship with the plants and the animals that also create that tradition with us. Like, it wouldn't be anything without them, just as much as it wouldn't be anything without us. So like one of the relatives that I've really been connected with throughout this experience, even before I was in that cohort, is the lichen. And the lichen, you know, I feel like plants will do this too. Like, they'll kind of come in for a chapter of your life and share teachings and medicine with you in that way. And for me, it's like, it's the lichen. It's been the lichen for about like eight or nine months now. And it started out with people gifting me lichen medicine and just it feeling really good. And then spending time learning about the lichen and just like this way of listening that I've been talking about, like opening my ears up, opening my heart up, following that curiosity. And from that, like they've shared some really valuable teachings with me that I want to share with others too. And one of them is that, like, when you look at lichen, it's actually, its very existence comes from such a deep partnership between fungi and algae. Like, they partnered so deep with each other that they created a new life form. And, like, for me, just that alone is like, wow, what are we capable of when we choose to partner with each other that deeply? Like, when we take our strengths and put them together, it's amazing what we're capable of. Like, we can create completely new things together that don't even exist yet. There's also this way that the lichen knows how to go completely dormant when there's not the moisture in the air that it needs to grow. It's almost like it can be in this state of death while still knowing how to listen for when the environment is conducive for life again. Where I feel like I have been in my journey, and also like especially in that cohort of weavers where we are together with each other, is that time of rehydration. And I would say this is true for a lot of indigenous communities right now. Like, we have that within us too, and we've had to go through times where we've had to like almost be dead while still remembering how to listen for when we can be alive again. It just feels like so fortunate to be in this time right now where the environment is conducive for life again, like where we can come back in to these traditions that, like, not even that long ago, our ancestors had to tuck that away inside of us, that feeling, like even on a cellular level of rehydrating. It's like, it's kind of mind-blowing sometimes. Like, it almost, I'm like, I don't even know if I remember, but I know I do remember how to feel this much love. Like, you know, it's in there, but I'm just so grateful for the lichen, like, for sharing that, for holding that almost like it's like a timeless way, kind of like how our stories are timeless in that way. It's a timeless teaching. Like, it's held for us. It was held for us then, and it's held for us now. Like, all of that came to me before I realized that the lichen is what we make our yellow from in our Gwishnagam Gemp weaving. That's what our yellow comes from. That's also, it's like, it's the lichen and the copper that we make our blue. And then the hemlock, we make our deep brown black. It's the mountain goat that, and the woolly dog, which has been like bred out of existence. But there are people that are like wanting to bring them back, to make those efforts to bring, you know, a new version of our woolly dog. But it's about the relationships, right? So we can come back. Like, if we come back to the relationship, we can come back. And for me, I always want to go to the plants. So, like, in our weaving cohort, we were given a lot of these things. And now I want to go find that mountain goat hair up on the mountain, because I need to be up there and my daughter needs to be up there. Just a few weeks ago, I was able to go to the other side of the mountains and harvest our our, there's a specific lichen that we use for our yellow. So it doesn't grow around here. It doesn't even grow in our traditional territory, which has its own teaching, right? Because we must have traded. So that's tied in to that too. Yeah, they just, they're so abundant with teachings. Like, that's just this, you know, this little bit. And it's the whole world. And they will totally, like, brainwash you in the best way possible. Like, if you just let them. And, no, that was the one thing, like, with my daughter. When I became a mother, my daughter can be, like, whoever it is that she wants to be, that she is, you know. But, like, the one thing is, like, she's going to know the plants. Because I want her to know how to take care of herself and her community and wherever she is in that way. She needs to be able to walk through the world like that. Because it does something different to you when you know how to take care of yourself in a place. You can walk differently.
Thank you. That was wonderful. Well, thank you so much for joining us today, Morgan Brown. And do you have a traditional name?
No, I don't. My Somaliak teacher calls me Mogali because we don't have R's in our language. but my daughter and I are actually going up to Metlakatla this summer, and we'll have our naming feast up there. So I'm doing a lot of preparing for that.
Well, thank you for joining us on the Young and Indigenous podcast. We look forward to more conversations and the sharing of knowledge in the future. Haishka.
Ndoikshin free. Yeah, I want to say Haishka Ndoikshin to you for giving me this opportunity also, and for reaching out to me and to other people and creating this kind of visibility, this platform of visibility for the plants themselves too. Because I know there's a lot of people that, like, want to have more access and they just don't know how. Like, even my students in my class, like, there's a lot of younger people. So I just want to acknowledge you, like, for the work that you're doing too. It's awesome. I'm grateful.
Haishka, yeah, I appreciate that. And yeah, shout out Cultural Survival and Children of the Setting Sun Productions for making this a reality. To the point of, you know, like, that's exactly what this is. It's an offering, you know. There's no greater benefit and there's no greater gift than, you know, the sharing of knowledge. So right back at you for, like, the amazing, incredible work that you do, and also for being willing to share that knowledge, because, you know, that knowledge, it doesn't come free, you know, it's you can't pay for it in a monetarily sense, you know. You have to pay for it with, like, time and I don't like the word tedious, but, you know, tedious ways, which listening, you know, for some people can come off as, like, really tedious, and it actually is a skill. And so thank you for being willing to share that with all of us. Haishka.
Hey, what up, y'all? Thanks for tuning into this episode of the Plant Series. This episode has been produced by Roy Alexander, Free Borsi, Cyrus James, and Ellie Smith. Huge thank you to our funders, the Inatai Foundation, the Cultural Survival Fellowship, the Paul Allen Foundation, and the Whatcom Community Foundation. Young and Indigenous is a part of Children of the Setting Sun Productions. We are an Indigenous nonprofit set in the homelands of the Lummi and Nooksack people. Additional music credits to Jody Okabe and Morgan Brown for providing their songs. Haishka for listening. Later, y'all.